Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch, and one woman called her the over 40 guru to watch in 2017. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host, Amanda Thebe. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This week, I am speaking to Courtney Thomas, who is the owner of Courtney Thomas Fitness. And I invited Courtney on because I love her outlook on life. I love her outlook on fitness and what she does for women in the industry. I'll tell you a little bit about Courtney and then I'll hand it over to her. So Courtney Thomas is a CSCS, a strength and conditioning coach. She has been a personal trainer and endurance running coach for 6 years. And after a mostly inactive life, she discovered a passion for running and turned it into her profession. Courtney spent 2 years training clients and athletes of all ages at a facility before starting her own business. She actually coaches her clients now exclusively online, and she empowers them through strength training, smart cardio, and mindset shifts. She enjoys bicep curls, fueled by cake, and riding her Harley Davidson Softail Deluxe, which sounds just fantastic. Her motto is Big Arms, Big Life, which is great because it's just empowering women to take control of their lives. And she lives that daily alongside her husband, her dog, and her cat outside of St. Louis in Missouri. So, Courtney, today we're going to discuss becoming the boss of your body and watching your life take shape. And I had a little dig around on your website, which I absolutely love, and we'll tell people where to go at the end of the show. But I love that your hashtag / tagline is Big Arms for Big Life. And the reason I like that so much is it's just not about a physical size, is it? It's more about like the whole philosophy of life and about women being big and beautiful and owning our space. So can you just explain that on a deeper level to the people who are listening today?
Yeah, absolutely. You absolutely hit right on it. It all kind of came from a lot from my personal experience, you know, because again, like I wasn't always active. I wasn't always into lifting or running or any of that. And so my personal journey kind of led me to some of these revelations. You know, when I first came up and built this website and everything, I did work with someone to do some of the writing and, you know, kind of talking with them and stuff. And we came up together with that whole become the boss of your body and watch your life take shape, because when you start to get in tune with what you're doing physically, it ekes out and transfers everywhere, right? So, you know, it's not just that your body shape may change, you know, you put effort into that, like your whole life could change from getting control over that. And then the more that I got into, specifically for me, lifting hypertrophy, which is focusing on building muscles specifically versus like strength or fat loss or something like that, when I focused more on hypertrophy, then that's kind of when that whole big arms, big life thing came around, which is sort of an extension of the become a boss of your body. I had always really like disliked, I probably shouldn't say hated, but like I really did not love the fact that I had like really big wide shoulders on a very petite body. And I was like, my arms put on muscle really a lot. And, you know, it just looks like it's not proportionate, it's not cute, and, you know, whatever. And then when I started training specifically for it and just kind of like went whole hog into, well, let's see what happens kind of thing, it really helped me to see my body in a whole different light. I started to love the fact that I could put a lot of muscle on my upper body, loved my big arms. And that again is kind of like taking control over what you're doing physically then gives you the confidence to do so much more in life. For me, it opened up all kinds of doors as far as my business went and those types of connections, really connecting with clients, being able to just kind of talk about like feeling good in your body is so important. It can happen in a million different ways. You can love running marathons. You can love powerlifting. You can love bodybuilding like I do. It doesn't matter. Like feeling good in your body is great. And then that gives you the confidence in so many other areas of life, whether it's relationships or career or whatever else it may be.
Yeah. And I think the majority of the women that listen to this show are going to be older than you, but I know that you coach women like this too. Mm-hmm. And so they're probably going through menopausal issues as well. And so the idea of loving their body right now isn't something that comes easy to them. Just using the philosophy of like gaining size in your body, you said it had this knock-on effect for everything else in your life. Now, what we're not saying is everyone has to go out and start pumping iron to get big and feel big. But I think that for these women who are listening to me on this show, my whole thing is as soon as you start moving in a positive way that impacts your body, whether it changes shape or not, the empowerment that you get from that, you can almost like grow 3 inches in size, your confidence booms. And so I feel as though we really underestimate the power of a small amount of exercise and how it can change our lives.
Yes.
And just going back to what you said about hypertrophy versus strength. Now, not everybody listening will understand what hypertrophy means and what strength training means. Mm-hmm. And they can work in tandem together and they can work in conjunction together. I mean, they can be combined together. So can you just give like an idiot's guide to hypertrophy and an idiot's guide to strength training for those listening?
Sure. I mean, I usually go there with just like when you think of Arnold Schwarzenegger and bodybuilding, that's hypertrophy. Like when you think about shaping your body, a lot of times, and a lot of women of all ages right now are very familiar with like stepping up on stage, like a bikini competition type of thing or a physique competition. I know I'm not interested in it either, but that is like a tangible example of hypertrophy training. Typically it's to like shape the body for, you know, you get to choose where you want to build the muscles. That goes down the rabbit hole of like perfect symmetry and, you know, whatever. I'm not doing that. I just want bigger muscles.
Yeah. And hypertrophy doesn't equal strength, right? And we sort of need to clarify that it's really changing the function and the shape.
Right, exactly. Definitely not always. Like hypertrophy typically is going to be higher reps and a higher volume for sure, as far as, you know, how many reps, how many sets, you know, how many exercises you're doing during a workout. Hypertrophy is on the very high end of that. Strength training, again, is, you know, kind of like you said, what it sounds, training for physical strength. It certainly could change your body, but it's not. The objective of that training is to get your muscles stronger, to lift more load, specifically, typically in the big three lifts, the squat, deadlift, and bench, but could be in any movement, certainly. Usually the volume is a lot lower, the reps are a lot lower. It could elicit physique changes, but that is not the explicit goal, typically, of those types of workouts.
I mean, if there's something you want to change about your body, the fact is there's protocols out there that can help you. And if you just want to feel stronger. And like for me, like the idea of me getting old and being able to move well and having support in my body is really important. So that functional type of strength is, you know, really important to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I read your mission statement and I read the blog post that went with it. And I really like the fact that you really took a long time to think about this. And I also come from a business background as well. I'm an ex-IBMer, like you can even imagine that. But anyway, and so I came from an IBM background and love the whole nerdiness of the whole thing. And you said it took you a long time to come up with this. Like you sat down with your pen and paper, which is like me too, a little bit of old school. And here's your mission statement. I like it. So Courtney Thomas Fitness exists to empower women to discover and live their big, genuine, and limitless lives. And I really like that because that completely embraces my whole philosophy. So I might just steal it, actually. And so my question to you after I've stolen your mission statement is, why do you think as women we are afraid to get big? Why is it that somewhere along the line we've been conditioned to be scared of the idea of being big and everything that sort of like entails?
Well, I mean, you pretty much said it in so much of what I end up talking to all my one-on-one clients, what I end up writing about, like anybody that I work with is that conditioning thing. And it's not just my generation or yours, or like it is hundreds of years now that, you know, it's, oh, we should just be small. We should be quiet because we're meant to take care of all the people in our lives. We, you know, our life's purpose is to just be a mother, like, and then be in the background and be taking care of the house and doing the thing. You know, and even one of my favorite books, and I use this in my coaching group, is Feminist Fight Club, which I don't know if you've read it. It's like a super easy, it's kind of like intro to feminism, you know, like a very quick thing. You know, it talks a lot about even in the workplace, like women who are like go getters and I'm climbing the corporate ladder and the whatever, still it's like, oh, let me just sit in the background. I'll take the seat way at the end of the table. You know, I'll get the coffee. It's fine. I'll take the notes. Like those are all little things that keep us small. Right. And so much of it is just like you said, like we've just been conditioned over time that this is who women should be. This is what we should do. So then it becomes very uncomfortable to do anything that is different, to take up space, to take the seat right next to the CEO, to say, get your own coffee. It's over there. To, you know, say, oh no, I'm here for the meeting. We have an assistant who's going to take notes, you know, like, because it's really uncomfortable to go up against that, right? Like, I think that too is something that for some of us, you know, it's just very difficult in certain situations to feel that confrontation. So feeling worried about that keeps a lot of women playing really small in a lot of areas.
It's really frustrating to hear that as well, because I've lived that time. And I know I would go into meetings and it was a male-centric environment I was in. I was in a utilities industry, so it was male-centric. Yeah. But you know, it doesn't take long to earn respect and it doesn't take much to stand up for yourself. But the whole standing in the background thing, I see that all the time. And then especially with the women that listen to this, there's a sense of, and I like the fact that you say, like molding into the background, because I call it like the invisibility phase of our life, because we come to a stage in our 40s where we're starting to like relook at everything. Like, is this it? Is this my purpose? Like you said, all I've done is look after my like family. You may or may not have children, but you tend to look after your partner in life, male or female, right? Yep. We tend to naturally gear to ourselves towards being the caregiver. Maybe we've got older parents and younger children. There's lots of things that we can't help ourselves. It's like this natural urge to just want to be the one that helps people. And then for me to say to my kid, no, get your own laundry and put it in the washing machine. I always feel so bad and I take a step back and think, God, what a bitch. But no, I'm not a bitch. I'm just conditioning my children to be respectful of their mother. It makes me think, when you said it's been going on for years, I just keep thinking of the Mad Men scene of, what was Don's wife called? Oh, forget now. With a lovely, beautiful blonde coiffed hair with all her makeup on and a little martini. And I'm like, yeah, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you don't find something to make yourself grow, you're going to be the woman hitting the martinis at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But that was just what was expected of them then. They had no aspirations to grow, because it was never expected. Where I think now the world is changing. We're going to rule the world anyway soon.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
I was going to say, I think a lot of it is about, like you said, we start to think about that, whether it's, you know, women like us talking with each other and challenging each other and asking questions and facilitating that for our clients as well, things like that. But then it's going back out into the world and having those conversations so that we can change that narrative and change the expectations to where, you know, it's not necessarily that, oh, you have to fit this old cultural societal role of what a female, a woman looks like and how she should act and whatever. Like, well, maybe why? You know, like, just because that's how it's always been doesn't mean that's how it needs to be in the future.
Yeah. And you talk about big and a number of different facets, right? It's multifaceted. And the fact is, most of the women that I follow in the fitness industry are not considered to be small and petite. They're big, powerful women who I just adore and love and would love to be like them. And so I think that there's this, honestly, going back to basics, one of the most common things we hear is, I don't want to lift weights because I'm going to get big. Like, you know, women are afraid to be big. There's not a lot that's going to happen to your body unless your body wants it to happen. I mean, your body is so much smarter than you. It's, you know, you have to work hard to become a very big person lifting weights. We know that the science behind it, it's so difficult to change that connotation in our heads. We've got the anecdotal things from like like Tracy Anderson, et cetera, and Gwyneth doing the 2.5 pound, 500 rep sets that are just, it's just sending the wrong message out to women. And it just isn't helping the cause at all. So I believe, like, I love following people like you because you've just got this, you've got this attitude. It's like, you know what? I don't give a shit what else is going on. I know what works and I know what's important and I know what can help you grow. And moving on from that, you've actually been on a platform to be able to sort of like be, have resistance, right? And say, no, you're wrong. And this is what women need. And you've done that both in speaking, right? And in speaking, you've had platforms at some fitness conventions, I believe. And do I remember like a conflict of some, I'm trying to remember either online or in person.
So at an association conference convention, national conference, I am on a women's committee specifically, which obviously the mission of that is to like advocate for women in the industry. And a lot of the messaging in this particular association, which I mean, really all of them, like it's pretty rampant in the fitness industry for sure. But like in this association, there's a lot of very like fixed mindset, like the concept of feminism as advocating for women as equals versus like feminism is like, she's crazy and like, wow, she's just angry. Like there's like a little bit of friction there. Yeah, at this year's conference, like I was very much a voice. We need to have separate spaces that are women only. And we do not need to have an event that puts men on a panel where we can ask them, how do we be like you so we can do the right thing so that you'll hire us? That's not advancing and advocating for women in our industry. We definitely need to continue to elevate, find, discover, and elevate the voices of other women who are doing things. We need to put them on a platform, and we do need to single that out sometimes. Like, essentially, I had to kind of argue for the fact that we need to force it right now because it is still like such a thing that basically like white men have the floor. You know, we sort of need to force it a little bit. And I do agree that it is appropriate in some situations to have a mixed crowd. You know what I mean? Like to have, maybe it's a round table and it is a discussion of like a back and forth of, hey, you know, you're looking for this, you know, why, like, how can we work together to do the thing? But I disagree with like having a male speaker at the women's luncheon. It was surprising for me because I really, it's just one of those things where we continually think that we're further ahead than we are. And then you run into that and it's like, dang,
damn, still.
Yeah.
And I had a very similar experience at one of the fitness conventions, and it was something very different, but it was similar in the fact that it was just like not elevating women to where they needed to be. And it was a presentation by someone that was very male focused, and it had a negative connotation on women. And when I brought that up to the panel at the end, of which there was only one woman on a panel of 10 people, all of the men disagreed with me apart from the one woman who obviously backed me. And so we're not asking for us to be treated differently. We're not asking to be handled with pet gloves or just given our like quiet. No, we're just asking for us to have, let our voices be heard, because you know, we have all of the forward thinking male coaches are approaching people like us and saying, tell us what's really happening with a woman. What does she need? What's going to be beneficial to her in her fitness, health, mindset, everything? Because, you know, we're complicated beasts and we're only just finding out what we need. There's no way any 40-year-old, 50-year-old white male sat on a stage knows what I want ever.
Right.
He has to ask me. And I'll see if I can work it out myself. I'm just joking. Yeah. No, but I just think that we do need to keep pushing that. And I'm really glad that you're a voice for that. I'm also not afraid to speak out, but I actually don't like conflict either. It's like a bit of a mixed stage for me as well.
Absolutely. I feel the same. But especially in the last year, I have just sort of forced myself, like as much as I possibly, like, I mean, I remember specifically in that example, in that meeting, I was like shaking, like my stomach was all like, you know, but it was like, this needs to be said. Like, If I'm the only one saying it, fine, but like you need to hear it and go home and at least like think about it. Like, I'm not saying it's not uncomfortable to do any of these things, you know, but it's so worthwhile.
Yeah, it totally is. And I think that going back to your statement, this fixed mindset, and I've, you were saying about, you know, feminism now, when we think of feminism 20 years ago, we would think of like the placard wielding, like crazy, angry ladies, but that was because they weren't heard. That was basically because they were the most ignored people in society. But feminism now doesn't mean that. It just means that we want equality and equal rights and we want an equal platform. And we're not angry women. But the minute we become passionate or even emotional, we're considered to be losing the cool where men can shout and swear. The double standards drive me crazy, but I do feel like we're edging away and making progress there. So thank you for that. Now, moving on to something a little bit lighter and fluffier. I am a strength coach who likes to run. And I know that the whole cardio bashing gets spoken about a lot in the industry. One of the reasons I was a runner in my 20s and I started doing it a little bit more actively in the last 2 years is because of I got slam dunked with depression, which I'd never had in my life. And it was purely from all of the hormonal disruptions. And I just needed something that was a release to me that really got my endorphins flying again. And so I started running and it really did give me a sense of relief. And I love it now. And so there are so many studies that back these claims. But the fixed minds, closed mindset of the strength and conditioning industry sometimes doesn't even want to have the conversation about cardio, whereas I actually do push it, and I know you do. Yeah. So let's just do some cardio love right now. Tell me like why you started and what it's done for you. We know what the strength's done for you, but let's talk about the cardio side.
Well, so the running actually is what even got me to the strength. That's how I started. Like, that's how I got interested in fitness at all. So actually, it was way back in the day. My husband suggested when the old, like, official had to order the DVD from TV, P90X, first came out. He was like, let's, like, do the thing. And I was like, oh, I don't do fitness, you know. And so, but we did it. But then afterwards, again, it was like his suggestion. He's like, okay, let's do another thing. And so we did a walk-run program for a 5K. And I had always been one of those people, like, you know, here in elementary schools, you have the presidential fitness test or whatever, and you have to like run a mile or something. And it was like, I would walk and take like 20 minutes and, you know, all the thing. Hated it. It was like, oh, I can't run. I can't, you know, I can't. So we did this run walk program for 5K and I weirdly enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, okay, like this is all right. And then, so we did a 5K and kind of like, you know, you do another one and you do another one and then got into like regular running a few times a week. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll do a 10K. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll do a half marathon. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll do a marathon or four. Like, so.
All four.
Yeah. Yeah. So running was actually the thing that I really loved. And it was one of those things, like, I didn't know any better. I didn't have any type of background in like fitness proper. So I didn't really know about strength training and lifting. And like you said, like everybody hates on cardio and running and stuff. Like, I didn't know. I like to go running outside because I would be like, look at the leaves and look at the butterflies and I feel so great. Like, I just enjoyed it. I didn't know anything of it, you know? And so I loved it. I dabbled in strength and core training more so, you know, where I would like pop in for a couple circuits so that I stayed functional, stayed strong, kept my core, kept my glutes, you know, so that it supported the running really. But it wasn't like anything specific. Eventually, like I said, I ran 4 marathons. So I kind of burned out a little bit. It was like a lot of miles all the time. I was always doing the thing. And I was like, okay, I need to like do something different.
When you invest in doing a marathon, that's a lot of time. There's no way you can do an endurance sport and it not take up a lot of your time. And then evidently the strength and conditioning to help the injury prevention tends to die off a little bit because you have no choice.
Yeah. It's trying to fit in really a lot, you know? So I just kind of was like, okay, I need to sort of do something new. So I transitioned a little bit more to like more focused strength, but I always have kept several running days because one, again, it's something I enjoy and I actually like going out and doing. I always run outside. I can't and will not do a treadmill. So year round I'm outside running. And you know, I typically kept up like a 3, 3-ish day a week schedule on running and was able to incorporate that with the focus strength, especially with hypertrophy, because for me, like, I can recover pretty well from that and still, you know, do as much running as I want. So it's been, it started with a lot of running, went to, you know, really a lot of strength and hypertrophy, and then kind of, you know, that like hybrid movement of, you know, being able to have both is kind of where I have ended up.
Yeah. And so what does it, like, a typical week look for you, the week in the life of Courtney? How does that, like, translate? Because, I mean, I know how it looks for me, but just for the people listening, like, just go through it all step by step, because it'd be interesting to sort of, like, for people to relate to that.
Just life side of everything. Again, like, I do all my work online. So typically, like, I get up pretty early. I get up at like 6:30 or so. And I usually like hit the computer right away. I'm not one of those like morning ritual people. Like, I get up, I like do my emails, I attend to all my Facebook groups or messages or, you know, whatever I have, and like get that stuff out of the way. Later morning, usually I spend like either writing for my email list or my blog, or like program writing if I have new programs for clients. And then, you know, lunch. And then afternoon is actually my workout time. I feel best like 2 to 3 in the afternoon. That's typically when I do my workouts. And for quite some time, I've been on a 4-day split routine, which by split, I mean body parts. So like I'll have like a chest day, a back and like chest and triceps and shoulders, and then like back and biceps. For a long time, I've actually been doing then like an arm day and only one leg day. It works though. So just recently switched to 2 upper days and 2 lower days. But I'm always some version of 4 days per week, a strength hypertrophy workout in the gym. I enjoy going to the gym. It's kind of like my little happy place, me time. So usually around an hour there. I'll probably usually work out like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then either take Thursday off or do just a run. And then a strength day then will be like Friday or Saturday, maybe one weekend day. And then again, do like a run, or like when we were in Colorado, we'd do a longer hike, like a 6 to 8 mile hike. Essentially falls in that category of like lower intensity, steady state something. Sometimes my workouts will have like some intervals added in or whatever. But so sometimes it's after a strength workout, I'll do a cardio. Usually I have 1 to 2 days though, where it's just a run or a low intensity hike kind of thing.
Yeah, so. Actually sounds very similar to mine. And like I do, like I would say 3 to 4 workouts a week and 2 to 3 runs. The reason I wanted you to tell people that is because I don't think there's one way to exercise. And I think it's really important for people to find their passion and find what they like. You yes. love working hypertrophy. You've seen the change of shape in your body, and it really, really works for you, and you love to run. It's not for everybody, right? But like for me, I'll do 3 or 4 workouts a week that are functionally strength based. So that's different from everybody. And my running's probably a lot less than yours. I can't do more than 5 to 10K without like wanting to die. Like I was born not to. I'm the worst runner. But you know, I live in a nice place where, you know, I run along the river and it's pretty, and I see squirrels and chipmunks and peacocks sometimes, and so I get a little bit squealy and it's nice. And I stop and take photos. Like, it's just relaxing. And it's also part of my strategy for coping with the way I'm dealing with menopause, right? Like I said, it's just part of, I have a 6-stage strategy that I deal with. And one of those includes trying to keep my endorphins up and just being out in nature. It's really hard to beat that, right?
I 100% agree with you. I say the exact same thing to anyone and everyone that I talk to about, like, I don't need you to do what I do. I need you to do what you do. And I need you to figure out what that is that you like, that you enjoy. You know, people are like, oh, even if it, like, it's okay to want to change your body. Like, I will be the first person to say that. You can have aesthetic goals. You can have physique goals. You can have weight loss or fat loss goals. That is all valid. But how you do that is important, that you enjoy the things that you're doing, that it supports a long-term lifestyle. Because if you force yourself to fit into somebody else's box, forget it. Just forget it. Like, you may as well not even try, because it's going to be so negative for so many things. You're going to hate your body. Your mind is going to go nuts. Like, and then you're not going to do it anyway, you know, longer term. So like, I always tell my clients, like, we can try different things. If you end up hating this set of workouts, we'll do something different.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like to run, let's do something different. Like, it doesn't, just because that works for me or for you or, you know, whatever, like, that doesn't mean that it's right for everyone. And it's so important that enjoyment is actually a like included factor. It can't just be, oh, here's what the science says, here's what we know about blah, blah type of workout. Like, that's all good. But if you hate it, it's not good.
Well, I think like the having the evidence-backed science is probably going to be more relevant for people like us who nerd out on the fitness side of it. But the general population who just want to feel better, I think that one of the drivers has got to be emotion. It's got to be passion. It's got to be something that gets you out of your bed in the morning, because you're not going to get yourself out of bed to go for a run if you absolutely hate running. There's just no point. There's no point. And it's all part of living this big life, right? It's all part of you saying, you know, no, I'm not going to do that just because I've been told it doesn't fit my goals. It doesn't fit my philosophy on life. So it's just bringing it like full circle to everything you've said, right? It's just about owning your space right now and you deciding what works for you.
Yes.
I could sit and speak to you all day long, but that's been a real eye opener. And I think that like one of the big takeaways that I want people to take from this is that, you know, we do have a valid place in the world, even though it sometimes feels like we don't. And there's things we can do to make ourselves better. There's a lot of mindset work we need to do. We need to surround ourselves with people that share our visions and our goals. Right? Yeah. And we have to be listened to. We have to advocate for ourselves as women. It's so important in the world today.
Yeah.
I say that as I drink my martini. I'm just joking. Yeah. I'm drinking coffee, not martini. Don't judge me. Connie, can you tell people where they can find you if they're interested in learning all about the Big Arms, Big Life philosophy?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is easy. It's just my name, CourtneyThomas.com, and that's Courtney with a K. And then on every social media, everything, I'm K Thomas Fitness. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, all that stuff, K Thomas Fitness.
Yep, that's super great. Thank you, Courtney, very much for being on the show today. I really enjoyed chatting to you, and I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy listening to this. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And everybody else, tune in next week and we'll see you then. Thank you. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com, or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.